And we're back at Ignite 2017 in Australia on the Gold Coast. Yes. Seth. So, mate, it's been a great morning.
Yeah.
Bill Karagounis laying it all on the line with the Windows Insider program.
That's right.
Very, very cool stuff. It's kind of occurred to me, as we've just had a little bit of a chat, you guys go all over the world and do this Channel 9 thing. Where's one of the weirdest places or the most interesting places you've been to do this show?
Well, anywhere our producer Golnaz is makes it really weird, just in general. It's just, I don't know what to say. She's going to throw something at me.
Yeah, she will.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Now, weirdest places? I don't know. We've been to a lot of places. None of them are weird in the sense that, like, holy cow, this is weird. But they're all very different in the sense of, like, wow, it's interesting how they use tech here.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found that the principles of technology are pretty much the same everywhere, but how they're applied varies by location.
Right, fair enough.
So
you've, in terms of, you know, first world countries, you've obviously done a bunch of stuff in the US and in Europe and so on, but you've also been traveling to other places as well. So you were in Africa recently, I think.
Yeah, we were in Africa about a week ago, Was it last week?
Yeah, wow.
Last week, we were at Nextech Africa, and the thing about Africa that's really cool is that in the United States, let's just say you have a legacy system. I don't know what it means here for Australia, but let's just say you have a COBOL-based system.
Right.
That's legacy. In Africa, you don't have the legacy-based systems, so when you go in there with technology, you can start out with the greatest stuff.
Yeah, so greenfield.
The cool thing is about 95% of people in Africa all have cell phones.
Right.
They're not all smartphones, but they all have access to some kind of network. And apparently there's some kind of software that you can do that works on the SIM chips themselves,
right. Which
is super cool. So for example, there's some cool companies in Africa like M-Pesa that do fintech type stuff,
right. And
then Copa that do other type of stuff. But like, I found that, and we also did a show in Peru where the cloud is making everything so much easier. And so when we talk about first world versus third world, I found out that there's no such thing as first versus third, technically speaking,
right. Because
now everyone has access to the same clouds, has access to the same technologies.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah.
And I think one of the fascinating things I've seen in reports from Africa is that they're really prioritizing that connectivity as part of their nation-building process.
Absolutely. And it's a cool place. Love being there. I'm hoping they invite us so we can come back. I asked them, like, hey, y'all should have me come next year. Hopefully they do.
I'm sure they will, Especially now you've made the additional plea from Australia.
That's right, from Australia.
From Australia.
Yeah, from Australia, that's right.
So, mate, some of the other stuff you've seen, you've seen people presenting all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Are there differences in the way that people approach the technical presentation side of things, or is it really pretty much a common way of doing things?
I found that the best presenters always start out, they always have some kind of humor. They always have some kind of story that has sort of a beginning, a conflict, a middle, and an end, and then a resolution, you know, a sort of a summary.
An arc, yeah.
So I found that there's always sort of those elements involved. All presenters also know how to, good presenters know how to feed off of their audience.
Right.
Scott Hanselman's really good at knowing his audience and using that. For example, he presented at Nextech, and he brought up a slide that had stuff in Swahili, I think it was. And so he knew his audience, he knew, that's another thing a good presenter does. And also a good presenter knows how to be self-deprecating and humorous, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I'm gonna go a bit more personal now. What are you running on your smartphone that's kind of keeping you abreast of what's going on or keeping you in touch or even just entertained?
I'll tell you, I went to a Hertz rent-a-car once, I think it was in Minneapolis, and I whoop out my phone, right? And the dude's like, oh, you work for Microsoft, because they knew I worked for Microsoft. And you have an iPhone. I'm like, yeah, but the best software I have is all from Microsoft.
Right.
So the one piece of software that keeps my life in complete order is Outlook.
Right.
And I use it all the time. It's a piece of software that I have on an iPhone. I use it all the time. The other thing that I've noticed is that it's a little hectic at home. We have a lot of stuff we got to keep track of. I bought an O365 account for me and my wife, and I use that with OneDrive. And so the stuff that I use to keep myself organized is obviously the Microsoft stuff, but the fun thing that I really like that Nintendo Mario Go thing.
Very cool.
And the sad thing is you cannot play it on a plane. Very upsetting.
I heard you saying to Sonia that you'd got an Office 365 subscription for home,
yeah,
for your family, which is awesome. And I did the same thing. I finally convinced my wife, who runs a small business,
that
she should move off her hosted exchange onto the Office 365. And just some of the, I mean, we talk to these IT pros like Sonia and other people about, you know, the complexity of setting things up and how we're making it easier, but The fact that I could go in and say that I want to register my domain, my wife's domain, yes. the Office 365 piece, and it took literally three clicks.
Yep.
And two of those clicks were on a GoDaddy OAuth prompt, yep. and everything was set up. I don't know if you remember setting stuff up on
yes.
a hosted Exchange with server records and TXT records. It is amazing tech.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, even because I have a couple of domains. She has her own domain. I have my own domain. She has three or four. I have like 50.
Yeah.
Every developer has like this tombstone of domain names
that
sit there and laugh at us about all these good ideas we had 10 years ago, right? And so what I did is I actually wanted to go the full route. I wanted to see if I want to control the domain and not do the one click thing, how do I do it? And even the ones where you have to do the SRV records,
right.
the TXT records, you know, the ones for the MX records
yep.
and everything, even those were super nice because it flipped out
yep.
and it said, you need to put this record in this place.
Right.
And I went and did that. And then it just sat there and it's like, okay, you got it. Because, you know, DNS
goes and
a little
checks
bit
it. Stuff, yeah.
goes and checks it, goes
yeah.
a little bit. And it turns out that it was actually really easy to even do it the hard way
right.
with complete control over a domain.
And it used not to be.
Yeah,
I
don't know.
I think I might be understating that, but
yeah,
you know,
I don't know, but I know it was super easy. I went in there, added three or four,
yeah.
five domains.
Yeah.
And it's what's cool is now we can have a group account
yep.
where you can have emails go to this one alias that both of you, it's really...
I love it. It's very,
it's
very
really
awesome stuff. And I can't remember how old your kids are, but my kids are at the age now where they want their own email accounts
yep.
and all those sorts of things. And that's just a matter of adding another couple of mailboxes.
And that's
right?
the thing I'm worried about, right? Because when my kids get a little bit older and they need an email account, I want to be able to administer that email account, right? I want to be able to say, hey, you're emailing at some weird times, right? I want to be able to be protective of it. Not that, because an IT admin would do the same thing.
Right.
Like if there's
right.
some email traffic that's happening out of the normal range, you could have been compromised, right?
Well, this is one of the things Sonia was talking about before
right.
with this whole concept of protection and built-in protection as part of that process.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I try to be like an IT pro-esque, and so whenever she asks for her own email account, I'm just going to add another account.
That's awesome, man. I love that stuff. So, in terms of what's next for Channel 9, what do we got down the track? Is there any new bits and pieces that people should be looking
That's
out for?
That's a really good question. So, our next event, I think, is in May. It's going to be in Belgium. Do we have any events before then? She's not listening. She
yeah.
doesn't listen.
That's why. Why would she? She's the producer.
I know. She's the producer. So, we have an event in Belgium for Techorama that I think we're going to be at. After that, we're going to try really hard to be at NDC Oslo. And
nice.
I haven't... Oh, that's right. March 7th is VS Live.
Oh, perfect. There you go. Lovely.
So that one's coming up
yeah.
Next month. And then April and May, we're getting ready for Build.
Build is going to be huge.
Getting
yeah.
ready for Build.
Yeah.
Super exciting.
Did I hear that the Build tickets went on sale like this morning and then...
They're already gone.
None left.
Oh, my manager's reminded there's Tech Days online is going to be happening. I think it's a global thing. Is that... When is that? February 21st and 22nd, those are the things coming up on Channel 9.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's always been such a great repository of knowledge and information, but also keeping you up to date with what's going on. Very, very cool stuff.
Absolutely. One of my favorite things is to go into talk to Anders or to talk to Rusinovich or talk to Guthrie about what are we doing and why. And
yeah.
usually I go in there and I ask, like, okay, well, let's get technical about this.
Yeah, and they're good at that stuff.
Yeah.
It's funny, we've just got a new member of our team, Simon Lamb, new technical evangelist. Big shout out to Simon, good stuff, mate. But I had a moment with him the other day. He was mucking around trying to get some stuff ready for Ignite here on the Gold Coast. And he said, I cannot get this bit of DevOps working in VSTS. I said, why don't you just jump on Link and talk to Donovan Brown?
Yeah.
And I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
You can.
And that's the beautiful thing about what you guys do as well. You get access to these people who are just the icons in the industry.
Yeah, and Donovan Brown is very accessible. If you have a question and you tweet at him, he'll probably answer you. I don't
yeah.
know where he is, but he's somewhere in this world talking about people process products.
Yeah.
He's really good at
it. It is very
and
cool
he is
stuff.
Rubbing some DevOps all over the place.
Sprinkle a little DevOps dust everywhere.
That's right, that's right. He's really good. And so that's the fun thing. My favorite part of the job is being able to talk to people about technical things that actually matter. And so if people have questions about stuff that they want to know about, they can just send them to me and I'll go and ask.
That's somebody. Awesome. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, mate, I think that's the end of our little session here. We've got Jess Dodson coming up in just a minute or
Absolutely.
Two. But look, thanks for joining us for this small interstitial piece. And we'll see you straight after the break.